Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for tonight is the psalm that was read already, Psalm 51. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been hearing a lot about David and his adultery over the last few psalms that we've been looking at, and there's a good reason why, because, well, they're connected to that event. And Psalm 51 is the most clearly connected to that event. After his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and his attempts to cover it up, as you well know, that led to the murder of Uriah the Hittite, David suffered great pains of consciousness. The word of God through the prophet Nathan convicted him of his sinful conduct. Through this, David comes to the realization, and I pray that each and every one of you have come to the same realization that David has. David realized he was sinful and corrupt through and through. From birth and even conception, he was sinful, brought forth in iniquity. David, like us, you see, needed to be recreated, reborn, born from above, if you will, if he's going to live. And so the contrite, penitent David prayed for a purified or clean heart and a new and right spirit. Because the penitent prays for and from a purified heart. Psalm 51, well, along with the 23rd Psalm, are probably the two best known Psalms of all the Psalms. But it's definitely the best known of all the penitential Psalms. In fact, whether you know it or not, it's probably you've probably sung part of it most of your life. Right? Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Familiar? It's the offertory from Divine Service Setting 3. It's also the historic offertory, making Divine Service Setting 3, of course, the historic setting in our liturgy, because the other ones don't use it, the created me a clean heart. And you also have sung, if you've done Matins or Vespers, other verses from Psalm 51. As this psalm gets implanted in our liturgy, You remember how Matins starts out, O Lord, open now my lips. Psalm 51. So concerning this psalm, Luther writes, and it's kind of profound, listen to this. A true and penitent heart sees nothing but its sin and misery of conscience. He who still finds any counsel and help in himself cannot in all earnestness speak these words. For he is not yet altogether miserable, but feels some comfort in himself apart from God's mercy. These are all words of a true repentance, which magnifies and multiplies the grace of God by magnifying and multiplying sin. The apostle says, that is Paul, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Therefore, the proud have no taste for grace, because their sins do not yet taste bitter to them. That's Luther's Works, Volume 14. The penitent, you see, has sorrow over actual sins, those sins that we normally confess in thought, word, and deed, those sins of omission and commission carried out by each and every one of us every day in our lives. David confesses before God, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. It had to be, because he took Bathsheba to be his wife. And while he loved her dearly, she was a constant reminder of his sin as well. And so he continues, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. You see, when sin becomes manifest to a person, he or she is left with nothing else to say to God's judgment but amen. Just as David does to the word of spoken by Nathan the prophet. All attempts at self-justification on the part of the sinner actually accuses God of unrighteousness and unjust injustice. Or as John writes in his first epistle, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, that being God, a liar, and his word is not in us. David not only confesses his actual sins, though, those that he committed, but he also acknowledges his original sin, that which he inherited as well. And so the penitent has sorrow over that also. The penitent recognizes that he or she is sinful through and through from conception. Paul writes to the church at Rome, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." There is no good to be found in us. With the Apostle Paul, you and I are called to acknowledge ourselves to be the chief of sinners. This is a matter of being totally honest with ourselves and with God. All sin, you see, is an affront before God. Our original sin together with our actual sins, those committed against our neighbor or those committed against ourselves. And God is justified only by the one who condemns and judges himself completely and thoroughly. And so God calls us to confess the truth about ourselves. We are sinners. Luther writes, "Therefore, God is not justified by anyone except the one who accuses and condemns and judges himself. For the righteous man is first of all one who is the accuser and condemner and judge of himself. Therefore, he justifies God and causes him to win out and to prevail. On the contrary, the ungodly and proud man is first of all the accuser, defender, the justifier, and savior of himself. For that reason, he automatically says that he does not need God as his savior. And he judges God in his words, and he de-justifies God, and accuses him of being a liar and false." So God reveals his truth about man to us through his word. And so the penitent recognizes his need of recreation because he is corrupted by sin. Thorough change is required for us, something that we cannot affect in ourselves, contrary to our evangelical brothers and sisters in the earth and in Christendom, who believe that there are good things that dwell inside themselves. Dealing with sin requires more than cleaning up one's act. God wants a change of heart, something David, in his corrupt state, could never produce. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. We are spiritually dead and can absolutely do nothing to aid our situation before God. Cleansing of sin must come then from God and Him alone. God thereby recognized as Savior, and thereby He is glorified all in all. Luther says, "Anyone who looks upon sin as something outward only cannot remain in this grace, but must slide backwards, and thus remain without grace and become worse than before. Although he does not see or realize it, now with us the situation is that Adam must get out and Christ must come in. Adam become as nothing, and Christ alone remain and rule. For this reason, there is no end of washing and cleansing in this life." That is David's prayer in Psalm 51. His prayer of confession is the acknowledgement of his sin, but his prayer of confession also trusts in God's cleansing from sin, and that it is a thorough cleansing and a complete cleansing. Sin is blotted out. Sin washed away, sin cleansed completely. This cleansing of sin is based on God's gracious work in Jesus. Cleansing with hyssop was part of the Old Testament rituals for cleansing. That mixed with water and blood would be used to cleanse those who were considered unclean, including lepers and those exposed to dead bodies. The application of the blood and water with the hyssop in the Old Testament foreshadowed our cleansing by the application of the blood of Christ through faith. Old Testament purification rituals always point to Jesus. God's forgiveness is also then described by David in this psalm as God hiding his face from sin so that he no longer sees it, as God is blotting our sin out from his record book, and as God washes us, making us who have sins that are of scarlet as white as snow. All of this points to the redemption and complete cleansing that came alone through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, John records in 1 John. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, God hides his face from our sin. God blots out our sin from his records. God washes us whiter than snow. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's what Paul gave as the message for the church, the message of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. So we sing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David recognized his total unworthiness and his total corruption, and thus he prays for the miracle of a new creation performed by the Creator alone. The Spirit present at creation, the one that hovered over the face of the deep, he alone works to make the new creation that involves repentance, faith, and willing service. Renewal is the work of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace. The old Adam in us must daily die, must be drowned, and the new man in Christ brought forth. The Spirit works through God's Word and sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, together with confession and absolution, which is simply God's Word applied to you personally. In holy baptism, the old Adam is drowned. Faith in Christ is created, and the Holy Spirit does His work as He is given. There we are connected with Jesus' death and His resurrection and walk in newness of life. Through God's word of law, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and brings us to repentance. Through God's word, the gospel, the Holy Spirit assures us of God's forgiveness and love in Christ Jesus, which then strengthens our faith and enables us to continue each day. In confession and absolution, whether spoken publicly or privately, you confess that your total unworthiness to God, and either I or Pastor Rafa have the fine privilege of standing in the stead and by the command of Jesus Himself and announcing His forgiveness for you personally. In the Lord's Supper, He gives you His very body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of your sins. This is life-giving food to the penitent who has died in Christ and risen again. Because this renewal is never perfect in this life, David prays that the Spirit will keep him steadfast and sustain him so that he will not fall again. This prayer is also an expression of confidence that God will answer David's prayer, since David says with assurance, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." This psalm is thus an expression of confidence in God's mercy, and that God will answer David's prayer, because David promises that he will do work for the Lord when the Lord has returned him to right relationship, when his prayer is answered. Genuine repentance will produce this renewal for service. Service that involves avoiding sin, praising God, and telling others the good news of Jesus Christ, and praying for a renewal of all of God's people. The penitent desires to avoid sin. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? The penitent then desires to serve and praise God. And to this Luther writes when he's expounding on the penitent thief on the cross. Observe a figure of this matter in Christ hanging on the cross. One robber judges, condemns, and blasphemes him. The other judges himself and justifies Christ, saying, For God cannot be praised, justified, glorified, magnified, and admired unless we ourselves are at the same time and beforehand disparaged, accused, and put to shame, and vice versa. Where our shame and accusation is in evidence, there the praise of God and the remembrance of His righteousness becomes reality. The penitent desires to tell others of God's word, that word of truth. And Luther says of this, that is, let me be bold through thy strength to admonish and convince all men that they are sinners and that nothing in them is worthy of honor and praise, but that they have deserved only shame and punishment, in order that they might realize that honor and praise are thine alone, because thine alone are righteousness and wisdom, etc. For no one can honor and praise thee without rebuking and dishonoring himself. In all of this, the penitent prays that God would do his work, for it is only God who can do it. That is David's attitude throughout Psalm 51, but especially when he says, for you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And concerning this, Luther writes, it is if he, David, said everything else he, God, despises, except at heart that is humble and broken, for it ascribes honor to God and sin to itself. Such a heart gives God nothing but only takes from Him. This is also what God wants, so that He may be truly God. For it behooves God to give, not to take. So David concludes his penitential prayer asking God to do good for Zion and build up the walls of Jerusalem. And so the penitent prays for renewal of all of God's people, that is the church. The penitent has not only personal concerns, but also should be considered or considers himself or herself a member of a greater body, the body of Christ, that is the church. For in truth, we are not just individuals before God. Hear what the Apostle Paul has to say to us as he writes to the church at Corinth. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, and free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Thus it is clear that the psalm was composed, strictly speaking, not about David, but prophetically in the person of the church, Luther says. It was written by David as being a part of the church. The penitent prays then regularly for the building up of the body of Christ. For it is also that Jerusalem and Israel of the Old Testament prefigure Christ's body, the church. In the midst then of the divine service, the church sings the offertory, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, which is its traditional form, and it's taken right out of our psalm. The penitent prays that God would create within him or her a clean heart and a new and right spirit. In so praying, the penitent also knows, believes, and trusts that through Christ Jesus alone and the working of the Holy Spirit, God does just that. God hides His face from our sins. He blots out our sins from His record, and He washes us all whiter than snow. With David and all the faithful, through the ages, together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we then in faith laud and magnify our glorious, merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.